let's look into it.
Hello, what's up, dear listeners? You're listening to This Is Not Fine. I'm your host, Henna, and this is not fine. I said that twice, didn't I? This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage against culture, media, society, and the internet, of course, only on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. You just heard I Go on the Internet a Lot by Internet Girl from their album The World I Love, and Bad Vibes by Palm Mystery, Blady, and Isabella Love Story from their album Tinker Bell. And Tasha is here in studio with me. Hello, hello.
I'm very happy to be here despite my commitment to sad girl winter. I am in fact happy to be here.
thank you for bracing us with your lovely presence.
Always a pleasure.
I took a little break from this show because I don't know, life got in the way, I suppose.
Why does it do that?
Yeah, I will admit I feel it's annoying when people say life got in the way, because I'm like, that's vague, be more specific. But sometimes it do be like that.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to bare your soul on air, so we
no.
can just have a little fun veneer.
Yeah.
Life got in the way, haha.
Yeah. Haha is key.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today we're talking about cringe culture. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Tasha,
yes.
How would you describe cringe?
Oh, okay, I'm very prepared. I have been thinking about this for a long time, and then the summer went by and I forgot my thoughts promptly, but Hannah brought it back up in conversation, and I think I have always felt that cringe is like two things. It's like it operates as a form of like negative self-identification, like you see something in someone that you see in yourself and you cringe, or it's like schadenfreude. You just see something in someone else that you are reacting like spitefully towards. There's kind of like the two coin flip of it, but I mean, I think for the most part it's like a way of social surveillance. That's probably too deep for the what it is section.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I went too far.
That's okay. We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. What do you think it is?
It's very visceral, for sure. Even saying cringe makes me cringe, in a sense, because I know that feeling too well, and we all do, when your body just contorts and you're reeling in secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah, can we talk about how cringe feels in the body?
Oh, it's just queasy.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
like a sharp intake of breath and you hold it there.
You do, you can't breathe.
Yeah.
And then your eyes are closed often, because when you're cringing, it's often when you're watching something, right? I mean, you could be hearing something cringe, but you can't look. And then if you're watching with people, if there's fellow viewers, you like look around and you're like,
nervous,
do you see that? Like, I hope you're cringing too.
It feels painful.
It's physically painful.
Yeah. All those descriptions are things that are like pain in the body, which is funny.
No, totally.
Something that is just so social and frivolous. We feel pain.
Yeah.
Like in very visceral ways. I don't know.
For sure. It's like vicarious pain.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's more sympathetic than we thought it was.
For sure. Yeah. It's like, oh, poor you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, maybe somewhat good intentions there, but then it can also come from a place of, like, oh, like, thank God that's not me. So there's this degree of, like, separation, right? And then I'm thinking of, yeah, so it's often watching someone's lack of self-awareness and watching that train wreck.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of times there's that shock value attached to it that we're very desensitized to now, but I think of it as like, oh no, you didn't.
That actually is a really good way of putting it,
right?
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah.
Therefore I cannot watch it or witness it.
Yeah.
And in some ways I feel that we've become a little bit, dare I say, post cringe. We're a little bit new cringe these days, because like everyone started, like, the mimetic internet machine is like, I'm cringe, therefore I am free, you know?
Yeah.
That started circulating for a while, so, like, I understand to an extent, like, we're not cringing in the same way, but I think it still happens on a low level, like, day-to-day basis. Like, it happens outside of the cringe subreddit.
Yeah.
Which I used to go through
as,
like, a dare or a thing to do at sleepovers.
Interesting.
Where we'd go and see how long we could last, like, viewing the content.
Oh, wow.
So, it was like a physical strength feat.
Yeah.
Because it hurts so much.
I love that little anecdote.
And it still exists. I actually think the people in the subreddit have put in, maybe not enough, but a considerable amount of work to make sure it's not hateful.
Yeah.
Because it goes into hate discrimination so easily.
For sure. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I was actually reading something that the person who created the subreddit, Cringe, he talked about how he really tried to put an effort to make sure that people were not being hateful or violent or harassing folks, either whose content was being posted or like other subredditors, if that's the term.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm cool. So I think of it, I mean, I don't know much about that subreddit, but I think of it as more innoxious than other cringe cultural moments where people got, people were really cruel.
Yeah, and something that we talked about briefly before the show was like trying to figure out a loose history of cringe content, if you will, and my brain was like, clearly this started with like fail blog and like fail content on YouTube, fail comps, if you will.
Mm.
And those were like, you know, in the beginning, I think it was like people falling down. It's funny. It's like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah. Vine.
Vine.
The whole platform.
Yeah. Like capturing a mistake.
Yeah. Social faux pas.
Social faux pas. It catapults into like cringe content so quickly. And then I think it became a thing for the right specifically to make fun of any sort of social justice cause.
Mm-hmm.
It became reason to be like very directly discriminatory and hateful.
Yeah.
And then you would see like cringe, quote unquote cringe feminist compilations.
Totally.
It was a way for people like to like be outright disgusting.
Yeah.
And that seemed to like proliferate for a long time before, I don't know, even like the person that like mods or runs that subreddit, before they begin to catch on what this was, what this mm-hmm. like, term snowballed into.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of like try and put a halt.
Damn, they're right.
Yeah.
Can't have anything good because of them. But no.
It used to be hostile.
Yeah. But seriously, though, that's kind of how it goes, right? Like a lot of things become weaponized. And then
yeah.
I've seen this so many times, and it's really gnarly where it's like, oh, you can take a joke, but it's like, oh, but you're being really racist. This isn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, who's laughing at whom sort of thing. And those people are already obviously marginalized. So I don't know. Again, it's like a lot of like comedy as well that we see where it's like, okay, you're punching down, so this isn't funny anymore. But then a lot of times people don't get it. And then it's the same with like, oh, we're being sexist, but we're not being sexist. This is just like cringe,
yeah.
But it's not.
It seems like a weird form of social manipulation to be like, this is actually a joke and you should be laughing.
Yeah.
Like that feels very manipulative to me.
It does.
Especially if tons of people don't naturally laugh.
No.
And do we ever laugh when we're cringing? Like, I think a nervous laughter.
Nervous laughter, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was actually telling Tasha earlier that my brain just feels like talking about cringe, it just feels like a blob. And it's like, what came before and what came after is just kind of like merged.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just kind of like this one big pot of soup.
It's like anything that emerges from the internet like that, where it's
yeah.
like a big silly goopy lake that we just dive into.
No, totally.
Understand why we are like this, like
why are we like this because it's never linear, right? Like
no, for sure.
Things, and then like just like how fashion repeats, it's like a lot of internet culture repeats itself, right? And
yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, this is so 2000s, but oh, like all these Gen Z's who are like, this is so 90s, but hey, you all are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I
so
mean,
joke's on you.
The never-ending pendulum swing back into the other direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of the reason. Yeah, now maybe if I was able to like formulate my thoughts a little bit better, is that's why it feels like it's, I don't know, like very circular, of like it's very repetitive
mm-hmm.
in a lot of sense, in a lot of ways, if that makes sense. But then I'm also thinking of how from this cringe culture zeitgeist, there's a whole entertainment genre, there's a whole TV genre, right? Like starting
yeah.
with like, we have like cringe comedy, and then we have reality TV shows that really bank on that premise of like, oh, you're gonna hate these characters, but then that's what's going to make you want to watch and be invested in their lives.
Yeah, it's interesting even just like that you said the word hate, which I mean sure refers to like to hate watch something or to hate follow someone.
Yeah.
And that feels like that feels inherently embedded in cringe.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that we're not all like out to get anyone nefariously all the time. This can happen in a really like well-intentioned way.
Yeah, use hate loosely here.
Yeah, exactly. But like as a form of reassurance that we are not that way, we have to see something that we dislike or hate, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess reality TV banks on that. And yeah, you're right, like a lot of comedy banked on that. This sort of like really dry, awkward humor.
Yeah.
That proliferates in a lot of like English TV shows, I feel, where it kind of like you hunch up your shoulders and you're like, I can't watch. Like,
for sure.
Which we find funny for some reason.
Yeah.
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 It makes us feel an emotion, I guess. We just want to feel something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so socially awkward that you can do anything but laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah, I think I'm thinking to like one of the biggest examples, which is the US remake of The Office, where it's like also who's the butt of the joke, and if it's the person who's cringe, then it's like more acceptable, if that makes sense, versus like who that person's being I don't know, like mean to or like harassing or
right.
being sexist to.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of like Michael Scott, the boss, and often he's the butt of the joke and we're cringing at him, versus if you're cringing at
interaction between people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is that sort of the power structure has to be inherent in it.
Yes.
For us to even begin to find it funny and not just deeply uncomfortable.
Basically, yeah, you put it way better than I did. The power.
I'm taking a stab at your good thought.
The power dynamic.
Yeah.
As long as it's inherent, we know that. Because then we, sometimes, you know, you laugh at something and you feel automatically guilty. You're like, oh, okay, this was, like, bad. Yeah. And it takes you a while to realize because you don't know what else to do than laugh. Mm-hmm. But here, once you're, like, aware of the power dynamic and you're like, okay, you're actually laughing at, like, the power or the person who's calling the shots, then it makes it okay, even if it's, like, cringe and, like, gnarly comedy.
Which is funny because of all of the, like, disgusting, gnarly, like right wing cringe compilation stuff that relied on just making fun of activists and anyone marginalized, they must have thought that they were punching up.
But no.
Yeah. Like inadvertently putting like marginalized communities in a position of power, and they're not realizing that that's where their cringe is coming from.
Yeah. And I'm thinking also of, I don't know. And again, this is very much chicken or the egg, this whole topic in front of us.
Jump in the ocean, let's do it.
Yep, that's right. But do you think our sense of cringe is heightened?
I don't know. Like, do you mean these days? These days, is it heightened? I feel as if it has gone down a little bit just because there seems to be like a cultural embracing of like camp and quote unquote bad taste. Like now bad taste is in fact good taste.
Yeah, and it's in fashion.
The ostentatious is celebrated. So in a way, cringe is comedy gold, and I think we're sort of for it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we're at this point where, like, for so long it was used in this really awful weaponized way, and it was, like, clearly trying to assert cultural norms, and now we're pushing back against that a little bit by creating another cultural norm, because, like,
yeah,
what else? But I don't know. It's hard to say. Do you think it's heightened these days?
I agree with you. It is, we've tried to reclaim it.
Yeah.
Okay, which, sure, it sounds good in theory, but then there are people I see on the internet and I'm like, you should be cringing at yourself because that's embarrassing and you're too confident.
Yeah.
Because think of it, the whole girl boss ideology to me is very cringe.
Indeed.
But then there are people who are like, no, I'm going to be a girl boss. And how can you say that without cringing? But people do. People say it in earnest.
I live in such a weird, like, shitpost bubble where, like, no one says that stuff in earnest anymore.
But no, Tasha, people do. Like, that's how it started, right? Like, mm-hmm. the girl boss era or the nasty girl who coined this term in her book was... we love an empowered woman.
We do.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's really white feminism. It's a code for white feminism, and it's very gatekeepy. And I see people who are like, oh, I'm going to reclaim cringe. But then it's like, actually, cringe is sometimes helpful.
Yeah, it's true. It kind of like... it redirects a moral compass.
Yeah, and it creates awareness, and it's like you don't have any self, because ultimately, like, we're I'm thinking of like watching, I don't know, I always think of American Idol fail compilations as like the early
the classic the first.
Cringe culture.
Yeah,
and that's like sweet. It's innocent. It's like, okay, these people, and a lot of it is maybe sympathy cringe. It's like, oh, like they don't need, I mean, yeah, their music is bad or they can't sing, but they don't mean no harm, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But then on the other hand, there was like contempt cringe of like, in my brain at least, I'm like, oh, these people don't have self-awareness, but they, I wish they did, because it can be either very tone deaf or like actively harmful.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the change, like exactly that you've outlined, the like sympathetic sort of like, I mean like the kind cringe versus like the morbid cringe, which is like, you're doing something wrong and you should know better, which like, let's be honest, like there's a lot of people that we cringe at, like legitimately deserve it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of undeserving cringe in that arena too, because like...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... this has been not cringy. It's been...
who knows, though? One can't ever say.
Can you imagine
the
jokes on us and people are like, these two...
you can't cringe.
So cringe.
If I know that I'm cringe, yeah, so there.
I'm cringe. I'll say it. I'm cringe and I'm cool.
Yeah.
Which is cringe.
I'm leaning into it. I'm in my cringe era. What else are we going to do?
True.
Right?
You're right. I don't know, though. I feel like I just don't have enough confidence to be in my cringe era.
It's, you know what? It does require, like, a lot of earnesty and confidence.
Yeah, putting yourself out there.
Yeah, putting yourself out there, which none of those things I actively do.
No. I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm too cool.
I'm going to tell you that I'm not cool, but I like to think that I am. It's just... yeah. It's just all warped.
It's another strange ocean to jump into.
Yeah, strange oceans. Yeah, that's my energy, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Worms, they all have thighs, and baby apples of a high. And worms, they all have thighs. Hello, I'm Addy Wolf, and this is my new single, Mastery. You can go check the music video on my website, addywolf.com. That's addewolf.com. Bless.
Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City. Oh, I see the love thickening over time.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver. What's good?
Howdy, folks.
We're here dissecting cringe culture. Like I know anything. I don't know anything.
If you felt a cringe in your body, you know enough. We spent the last little while kind of outlining what it was, at least to us. But I think the truest form of what is just like, you know that feeling when your shoulders bunch up and
yeah.
You maybe close your eyes and you like, mm-hmm. hold your breath and you don't want to engage.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
can we also talk about self-cringe? Because I do that a lot.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's totally fair. I think of anything we did in the past.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that was so cringe.
Well, because, like, when you talk about things that you did in the past, your younger self was probably feeling something really earnestly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go back to that initial earnest feeling that you had.
Yeah.
When you're first trying something, because eventually you know too much about a thing and you move on.
For sure. And maybe it's just it's also envy. Like, I could never write poetry like I did when I was 15.
It is envy.
Yeah.
I think.
And
there's something in there.
I could, and you know, just write it and read it to my friends. I would never do that. I'd rather, I don't know, I'd rather do anything else.
What's a good self-cringe moment that you can pull out of the hat?
Wait, what do you mean?
Do you have, like, something that you actively cringe about from your past, from the most recent past?
No, I actually, believe it or not, I don't know if I take myself that seriously anymore. So it's like,
that's great.
Yeah, it's like, it's fine. Like, I already disclosed it on live radio that I used to write poetry. I mean, writing poetry itself is not cringe, but my poetry, I'm sure, was pretty cringe. And I used to write it in a little black notebook and read it to friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you perform it for your friends?
Just read it, honestly.
Oh, my God.
And they liked it, or at least they told me they liked it.
See, I feel like that's something because sometimes cringe revolves around self-expression in a way.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're making something, you're writing something, you're singing something, you're really feeling it. And it's hard to make everyone on board, to get them on board, rather, with how you're feeling when you're expressing your thing.
Right.
And part of the, like, really granular bit we wanted to get into about cringe was, like, I feel like
I'm going to interrupt and I want to throw that question back at you.
Oh, you want me to say my cringe?
Yes.
No, I thought I was going to avoid this very
simply. Come on. Post-cringe era.
I'm always after narcissistic supplies, so I do lots of cringy things. I also went to art school. Is that...
No, you can't use that. Come on.
Well, when I was a kid... I used to write fanfic, and I used to read it to my friends at sleepovers. We would have, like, periodic sleepovers where I would, like, read the next chapter.
I love that. What was the fanfic for?
Well, like,
what's the famous one?
It really started out, it really started out as, like, a My Chemical Romance fanfic book for myself and my young emo friends. But in a weird way, it, like most fanfic, I think it transcends that and it just becomes about, like, teenage desire, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But I ended up writing it about falling in love with a ghost.
Oh,
so that says something about me. And
I love that.
It hurts me to think about reading my love story about a ghost to my friends.
There's something very ethereal about it.
Indeed.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, I used to eat up vampire stories like anything. Totally. And so to me, I'm like, oh, that's cool. But to some, it may be cringe.
Things that are really indulgent can really quickly fall into cringe.
Yeah.
And I think we're now embracing indulgence again, which is great because I love it. I don't want to feel embarrassed or shame about things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of at the heart of self-cringe.
But sometimes it's important.
Yes. Yeah, to make you a good person.
Like we... to give you some kind of moral compass, yeah. Or to give you self-awareness and realize that you're taking too much space and maybe you need to look in the mirror and not have... and kind of tone it down on your confidence. Because people who don't doubt themselves freak me out because I'm like, maybe you should once in a while.
I know.
You know?
But then I also doubt that they don't doubt themselves. I know you have a kernel of shame in there somewhere and you're not choosing to express it, so I don't trust you.
No, that's what I'm saying. They do a pretty good job of hiding it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just kind of that like oblivion.
Like Elon Musk needs to self-cringe.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
I don't think he cringes, though. No, that's the thing. I don't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten this far.
That's true.
But come on.
Just like an ounce of shame, please.
Please, a little bit. You. Yeah.
Just begging you.
Look at yourself in the mirror, please.
Like once.
Once.
Touch one blade of grass.
So, and that's contempt cringe, right? Like anything that comes out of Jordan Peterson's mouth.
Oh my god.
Automatically.
Not...
contempt cringe. But I genuinely believe that some people don't have that self-awareness at all.
I think the feeling of self-cringe manifests in people's bodies differently. For me and maybe you, I feel embarrassment and shame. For others, I think they feel angry, so they dive harder into it. Like if they feel embarrassed about something, they get this like kind of
their defense mechanism activates.
Totally.
You know, like yeah. it's like what a lot of times when we're defensive about something, it's like, oh, like I'm right, or mm-hmm. I don't know, like I'm thinking.
And they just slowly put on their clown makeup and go harder into it. And
like they don't even want to think about the possibility that maybe I need to re-examine what I'm saying and putting out in the world, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking of, like, I don't know, J.K. Rowling definitely did a 180. I mean,
God.
We all loved Harry.
Receive feedback.
All loved.
My lady.
Right. All loved Harry Potter. Great. But then everything that comes out of her mouth, and then there's so much feedback, so much criticism, but has she learned? She hasn't.
She puts on another layer of clown makeup.
I know.
It's like look in.
Ma'am.
My lady.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's so interesting. Again, that's what I'm saying. Right? Such people, mm-hmm. I wish
had
that self-reflection.
Yeah. It's the reflection element that's interesting. Because I think that cringe demonstrates it's like a rewarding yourself for punishing other people who don't meet certain social norms.
Yeah.
You know? And this could swing in any direction, you know?
That's why it's so tricky to pin down, right? Because I'm thinking now, like, I've talked about, like, okay, some people need to. But then, on the other hand, I think of people whose whole internet identity is cringing on everything. And I'm like, that is that your personality? Like, that's not cool. And it's very, I think of people being very precious with things, like being very precious with art, being precious with like, oh, this is bad art, and like really making it a point to let people know what they think. And then it's like, nobody cares, like, if you don't like this, or an example of, I think, okay, so I'm thinking, I remember going to this stand-up comedy night in the summer, and a lot of stand-up comedy is cringy, let's be real, but then that's why it's funny. I was super into it, but then there were people with me who were like, we can't even watch this. This is so embarrassing. And then that's when I was like,
why do we expect perfection?
Yeah, with art, you know, with other things you have, you're more loose, fast and loose, and there's more gray area. But like with art, it's like if it's either it's good or bad, or we're so precious and we're like always trying to police it.
That's such a good point.
So I was like, people are just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is funny. I'm into it. This is bad and it's funny.
It's almost like cringe, if we look at it as a form of social control, is kind of like gatekeeping.
Yeah.
It's making sure that we keep things a certain way.
Totally. Status quo.
Yeah.
Right?
Which...
Yeah. No, I actually was reading something by, I think, the psychology professor, and I think they were talking about how cringe is ultimately rooted in our fear of social rejection.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting with some people, it's so much more, when I'm talking about like this brand of, this like group of folks who take cringe too seriously, and then it's kind of the same people, or I mean, I don't know, internet has like a bajillion people, but those like similar people who are going to be posting ugly things or just very hateful stuff in the comment section, when it's like, okay, let it go, like this is harmless, who hurt you? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I think it's like who speaks louder about their cringe wins.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't want to be ostracized, so I'm going to like make fun of this.
And if it comes from a place of reassuring yourself, then it is a really nefarious form of like holding true to certain social norms.
Yeah.
And those only serve like very few people.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, just by existing online at all, will just purely be perceived as cringe.
Yeah. That's so true. Just their existence is cringe, which is really, it's awful. Because I was watching this video about furry.
That's the core element that we haven't even talked about.
There are definitely these certain specific groups that are butt of all the jokes and are the ultimate cringe communities. And it's really unfortunate. Like, I don't know much about furries, and I definitely associated them with, like, some kind of, like, sex thing. And I was mistaken. It's often not. And something that I learned is that not everyone, but most folks that associate with the furry subculture can be on the spectrum and can be, so people on the spectrum or people who have autism do resonate with that subculture and find solace in that community. And just to, it can be very ableist when you're cringing at that community. And then a lot of cringe is often at people who are fat, people who have some kind of mental illness. And like you said, just by existing, they're cringe. And people are like, oh, look. Because I was watching this cringe compilation where it's just like a fat woman swimming. And I'm like, why is this person in the cringe compilation?
Early, like, horrific YouTube cringe comps.
Yeah.
Like that.
Which is
just purely
mortifying. Yeah, basically.
And, yeah. And, like, hostile.
Yeah.
And, like, if we're going to continue to cringe, which we will and we always will, and I don't think we'll ever stop, we have to think about why we're rewarding ourselves for punishing someone for not meeting some expectation.
Yeah, some kind of standard.
Yeah.
Social standard.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and I think I am probably butchering this, but someone, I was reading something that someone said, couldn't be more vague, something that someone said is like cringe, the people who are at the receiving end of cringe are often people who are, again, don't meet the meet society's beauty standard or aren't often not neurotypical. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is, I don't know, it's just harmful.
And if you think about it, like, the opposite, if you try to describe what the opposite of cringe is, the only way I could describe the opposite of cringe is, like, self-consciously strict and generic. So,
yeah.
In a way, the stuff that is just very open and expressive and...
You know, that's interesting. Yeah, that is such an interesting thought of, like, what is the opposite of cringe? I thought of glorification.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm thinking of, like... Because, okay, but if you talk about cringe, like, would you say cringe is contentious?
Yeah, I would say so.
I would say so, yeah. Too, right? Like, cringe for someone is not cringe for someone else. And I think of glorification of, like, people hyping up a person that's contentious. Mm-hmm. And people are divided about that of, like, oh, this person's overrated. So I don't know. That's kind of the thought that popped in my head of, like, yeah, like when we put someone on a pedestal versus like putting this, which is, I don't know, the opposite of like cringing. Mm-hmm. Or like throwing someone off.
Right, like the opposite of cringing is like fandom.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I was thinking of like cringe as an aesthetic versus cringe as an action.
Okay.
Which of course they're both.
Yeah, it's a noun and a verb and an adjective.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the opposite of, like, cringing at someone is obviously loving someone. And that seems like an important distinction in the conversation because, of course, one would always prefer people to love each other. But, I mean, we're very individualistic over, like, solidarity in general. So it makes sense that we cringe at each other.
Yeah. Wow, I'm going into my brain is a mesh again.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing is like the like hyper visibility of everything, and this like going from not being able to like share and express yourself with almost anyone in an accessible way to all of a sudden always being able to, which provided us access into a lot of people's brains, like. A lot of people's hearts, like all of a sudden that was so easy to just view. And so we can't discount the fact that we're like, you know, this idea of like alone and sharing with the world.
Hyper like, online.
Yeah, exactly.
And super alone.
Yeah.
get me on that t-shirt. Yeah. Am I right?
New winter aesthetic. We alone and sharing.
We do need to take a quick break before we wrap up this episode. So here's a song. Choose your fighter. Choose your fighter. Level maniac. No one ever wants to finish.
spider.
Shindig.
Prepare for the ultimate battle of the bands. The best from Vancouver's musicians come together to show their talents. Starting with 16 bands and one final winner.
Qualifiers on November 1st, 5th, 18th and 27th, with the finale on December 2nd at the Redgate Art Society. Be there or like be square.
And we're back, folks. Time flies when you're cringing? Question mark? You're right.
And everything hurts.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we have made it to the end of the episode. We've got about 10 minutes left. I should also mention that the song you just heard was Choose Your Fighter by Nova Twins. I need to get better at talking about the songs I play. I just, I don't know, I forget. But yeah, you're listening to This Is Not Fine on CIDR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm your host, Hannah, and in studio today, I have Tasha.
Hello, hello.
So, what are we talking about? My brain hurts.
Oh boy, we are here talking about cringe content and cringe culture and the act of cringing.
Yeah.
And it feels like a giant murky cesspool that we jumped into, and maybe perhaps in some ways it's over now. Like maybe we're cringing less, but I think it's still important to actually think about what we're trying to like point at when we're cringing at something. And if it's someone falling down the stairs, then that's okay.
Who's laughing at whom?
Whom is laughing at whom?
Yep. Very true. Yeah, so final thoughts and takeaways.
Something that we were talking about is the people that we feel should have some element of cringe, and really what we mean by that is like self-awareness. And I think that definitely holds true, because in a way that like really yucky reaction you get when you're feeling cringe in your body is just like reacting strongly to like to something that doesn't fit or sit well with you. And if it is on the end of something that doesn't fit, like it doesn't fit a social norm, then it may be, like, worthwhile to, like, reassess why you're feeling that way. Because I do feel like that's kind of, like, a gnarly reaction. But we all cringe, so, like, no one's exempt from this.
Don't say that you don't cringe.
No.
You're a liar. You know something that I just realized? I grew up in the era of cringe where everything was cringe, and so...
But we didn't address it.
No.
I agree.
No, we didn't. But we were very cognizant of the fact. And now I see teenagers in the post-cringe era where they're hyper online, and there's this whole cringe TikTok, which I mean, I don't even want to get into because I don't know much about TikTok. But...
I was like, so cringe does still happen.
Yeah.
In like a curated way.
Yes. But you know what's interesting? I will share something that I read of like, and I think we have somehow, we have in ways addressed this already, is that especially with TikTok, people capitalize on cringe. And so this that's post-cringe era, right?
Like the user themselves capitalizes
yeah,
on it?
Yeah, the content creators capitalize on cringe. So the idea is that, yes, this is cringe and that's why it's going to go viral.
Right.
And they know it. Versus back in like Rebecca Black's Friday era, She had no idea.
A marker of time,
indeed. 2011. She had no idea. That poor girl was 13 years old, just wanted to have fun times on a Friday, and she was bullied for it, became into a meme, yada yada. Had no idea, made a video, posted it on the YouTube. But right now, TikTok teens know cringe and then oftentimes use that to their benefit because then that's how things go viral. Right?
Yeah, I mean, some people are like very meta about earnesty and self-awareness. Mm-hmm. That itself feels like a trap.
Yeah.
I mean, I only say this as someone who's like desperately trying to find that earnesty back again because spend too long in that like weird, like, I know how to be like meta ironic.
Everything's ironic and everything's facetious.
Strange existence. You're like floating and you don't actually, like, it feels bad in the body. Like, I don't want to do that.
Because it's just so much confusion.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to outsmart everybody. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore. Or like one up the other person.
Yeah. Which is why, in some ways, the like, the era of Friday and,
it seems
hot problems for the real ones. You know what I'm talking about? Is like a, yeah, it was an era of cringe because like we all were cringy and we didn't know it, but that not knowing was blissful.
Mm-hmm.
No one was telling us that, you know, you shouldn't be a hot girl with problems.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, it's interesting. I don't even know how to put it, but like a lot of times it's like knowing but doing it despite is could be sometimes disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
trying to thwart that though feels even more disingenuous.
Yeah. And trying to use that,
it like hurts my brain to think about.
No,
that.
It does hurt my brain. It's physical, folks. Cringe is physical.
It's physical.
That's it.
Yeah, I was just like rubbing my forehead aggressively.
Yeah. Tasha is rubbing her forehead and I think that's what it boils down to. This is a very full circle because we started with the physical elements of cringe.
True.
In our body, in our mind, in our throat.
Mm-hmm.
or like where we're holding our breath, and that's what we're ending with now. But where are you going to go from here?
I feel like no matter what you or anyone does, hypervisibility can make you like a star or like a moving target. And I, for one, would just like to hide. So, I mean, like, I feel like people are going to be expressing themselves in this variety of ways all the time, feeling earnest about things that maybe you yourself have experience in and you may feel some sort of like Schadenfreude or like self-identification in that cringe, but it doesn't need to be policed or gatekept or girl bossed or gaslit.
Wise words.
Yeah, that's what I'm landing on. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I have given all my sense away and I'm not left with anything. So
your cringe moment. And now you're free.
I hope I am. I don't know. Are we truly ever free?
As free
under
as
capitalism.
Stop.
Yeah, I went there.
As free as we are allowed to be under this state.
Exactly. So I don't know. But this has been interesting.
It has been.
Yeah. It's been like a, I don't know. It's kind of been like a lot of, like a yo-yo.
Oh.
That's how I'm going to put it.
I like this metaphor.
Okay. Thank you. That's my half cent.
That's what conversations are.
Yo-yo. A yo-yo. Yeah. Remember that? Throwback. Okay. So this is the end of the show, folks. And we're going to be back again very soon with another hot topic.
Amazing.
Hot takes.
Hot takes, hot topics.
Hot takes and hot topics.
Hot topic, the retail location. Thank you for having me on your show.
Of course. Yeah, always. Okay, well, until next time, take care. Bye.